This hymn is what I wrote about 5 to 6 years ago. It was written in English. I have never thought that we could sing this hymn at this time. And the brothers have labored to translate this into a beautiful, poetic Chinese hymn. Not only we will sing in this meeting, but hopefully we will continue to enjoy this hymn in the future. This is based upon 2 Peter chapter 1 concerning the Lord's coming, how the morning star rises in our hearts. And this is the message that we will share today. And there was a music that was specially written, designed for it in English, but it's quite new. So, brothers and sisters, it's hard for you to learn. So we used, but 958 in English, this hymn by Brother Nee, and we use that same melody, same tune to sing this hymn. Actually, this is very meaningful. 958 is what Brother Watchman Nee wrote. Yeah, this is famous Danny Boy, the Irish melody. But hymn 958, since long ago at Bethany we parted, within my heart there is a ceaseless void. How can I take my harp down from the willow? How can my songs without thee be enjoyed? And when at night I'm keeping lonely vigil, growing numb alive to sorrow and to cheer, then I recall the promise of thy coming. But, Lord, O Lord, why thou dost not yet appear? Please go and sing more of this hymn, 958, my burden for this conference is quite heavy. I have spoken to some brothers, especially the speakers. I reminded them that concerning the studying of the Lord's coming is somewhat difficult, magnificent, a great subject, and that will require many messages. You can say this could be one of the biggest, greatest topic in the Bible. You go to the last chapter, Revelation 22 of the Bible. The Lord Jesus himself said three times, I come quickly. Not only I will come, but I come quickly. There is a sense of timing, or what should I put it? A kind of sense, or when we say we should long, desire for the Lord's coming, it's not just for us to sit here on a chair. The Lord is far, far away. He wishes to be with us of his in his parousia. The Lord's coming is to be with us. That actually is a process. Don't think the Lord will just come down from on high to us. The Lord from his throne, he will come then to the air and then to the earth. That will take 3.5 years. That will take time. It is of a process. So I thought of our last message. We need to be full grown and mature in life. And that is also a process. The coming of the bridegroom is a process. For the bride to be prepared to meet the bridegroom is also a process. You know, the Lord's coming, he also needs to get himself ready. If all the bridegroom is ready, but the bride has not made her ready, that would not be a good wedding. It takes both sides. The Lord himself is also preparing the 2,000 years. So the bridegroom is coming for the bride. So both sides need preparation. So today, in the church life, for us who love him, who follow him, who pursue him, daily we should prepare ourselves until his coming. Doesn't matter what language you are, English, Chinese, the Lord's recovery over the earth, may the entire recovery, when we come to talk to about the Lord's coming, will not just pay attention to the so-called prophecies, the so-called doctrines, teachings of the Lord's coming. You may understand it, you can speak about it, but don't think with that you are ready. No. I often talk to the brothers and sisters that even in the Lord's first coming, right, that today we're talking about the Lord's second coming, but even the Lord's first coming in the Old Testament prophets prophesied many times of the Lord's coming in the Old Testament, because they were in the Old Testament. They were not clear about things, so they were seeing things from afar. They mixed up the first and second coming of the Lord. But now, today, we're very clear, because the Lord's first coming has come to pass. You see things far away of two mountains. Actually, there are two peaks, but there are a mountain, two mountains. It is the same way in comparison to the Lord's coming. The two comings of the Lord has brought us, included the important age in the Bible. We call it the age of grace, or the age or dispensation of the church, or the age of mystery. In the book of Daniel, the 77, did not include this age of mystery. You have to start with the book of Daniel to know of the Lord's coming or the Lord's day. The first week, 62 weeks, and the last week. The last week is of the last seven years of this age that can be divided into two. One is the first 3.5 years, and the second 3.5 years. Then the last 3.5 years is what Revelation called the Great Tribulation. You have to know, you have to understand all these words of the prophecies. If you're not clear about the prophecies in the Bible, then you will be confounded. You will not know what is going on. So today, we're just helping brother and sister to enter into this. But, okay. Okay. Is it? I don't know where the sound came from. I'm sorry. Even though we know all of the prophecies and we read them all, I still want to recommend you to that, where's the starting point? The best is to read the truth lesson. We have a series of books or volumes that are the truth lessons. There are several level. I think level 4, there's a message that mentioned in such a succinct way to talk about. There are 40 to 50 reference verses that include the Old and New Testament. You have to read through those verses. You will begin to know the truth concerning the Lord's coming, especially the young brothers and sisters. Please go to Truth Lessons, level 4. You go and study and read it. But I want to come back concerning the Lord's coming. There is a star. In His first coming, there is a star. It's not called the morning star, but it was a star that appeared to the Magi from the east. And when they saw the stars, then they knew that the kingdom of Israel shall be born, and they follow that star and went to Israel. But they still had their natural concept, so when they went there, they somewhat put aside or ignored that living star. They went to Jerusalem to find the Jewish priests and scribes and ask about, we have seen the star that you, the king of Israel, had been born. Where is he? So they are very familiar with the Old Testament. They find Bethlehem. That is the city of David. That Bethlehem is where this Jesus Messiah will be born. 100% correct. And scripture according to the Old Testament record. But after that was spoken, the Magi went to Bethlehem. After they left Jerusalem, the star appeared again. Actually, they had two kinds of leading that led them. Number one is the star. Number two is the words of the Bible. These two things are joined together. If we to read 2 Peter, we can see the same. That if we give heed to the prophetic word, the prophetic word made more firm, to which you do well to give heed, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. The day dawns is the Lord's open coming. And here we can see there is that the prophetic word, the result of our giving heed to the prophetic word, is that the day will dawn and the morning star will rise in your heart. Today, we need both. We need the word and the spirit. We need the prophetic word and also the star. We need to understand the prophetic word. Who are the prophets? The prophets are the oracles of God who spoke forth God, who speaks forth God, and who speaks forth the prophecies. And they are the prophets. Look at the Magi. They follow the living star that led them. So the Lord's word is a lamp to our feet. And today we need the Lord's word. We need the Bible. We need the prophetic word for us to know how to go on in our path, especially from now on until the Lord's coming. How shall our footsteps be? Depends on the Lord's word. But on the other hand, when we read the Lord's word, not only to understand the word in our mind, in our understanding, but we have touched something. That is, we have touched the Lord himself. Not something about the Lord, about the Lord's coming, about the Lord's presence. But when we read the Bible, we touched the Lord himself. We have enjoyed the Lord's presence. That presence is the star, and that star will rise up when this living Christ in us, through his word, rises in our hearts. Then we will have a foretaste of the presence of his coming. The foretaste, of course, is not known or understood by the outsiders, not even the Christians today. Who is that prepared for? That presence, that foretaste is for those who love the Lord, who love his appearing. And to this weekend we're talking about, they are the overcomers, the first fruits, the ripened ones, those who have grown in life, grown into maturity, experiencing his transformation and his complete salvation. Oh, this group of people in a hidden place, in secret, the Lord will appear to them. At the Lord's coming, it will be in an open matter. It's like a day down that the Lord will come in an open way for all the people to see. But this coming, the secret coming of the Lord, is not known by others, but by these ones. Others do not know of the Lord's secret coming, but only this group of people who have foretasted, experienced in ahead of the time of the Lord's presence and his secret appearing. May we become such ones in the Lord's recovery. And the Lord's recovery should be filled with such kind of people. And with such kind of living, they don't do things loosely, carelessly, but they pursue the Lord fervently. They have the word within. They also have the star shining in their heart. At the darkest hour, in the most rebellious and the darkest age, which is this age, they have the morning star, and they have the prophetic work, and they pay attention. They give heed to the prophetic word made more firm. What are the prophetic word made more firm? Because in the Old Testament, many prophecies concerning the Lord's coming were not so clear. When the Lord Jesus himself came the first time, he himself was also a prophet. He also spoke very clearly concerning his coming, especially Matthew chapter 24, 25, the signs, the process in relationship with the Israelite people, with the Gentiles, and all the prophecies concerning the Lord's second coming, and the Lord spoke very clearly. These are major topics in the Bible. So the Lord's words, his prophecy, was what to make more firm of the Old Testament prophecies. So the Lord Jesus not only talked to the three closest to him, Peter, James, and John. The Lord brought them to the Mount of Transfiguration. What they saw on the Mount of Transfiguration is the Christ coming in his glory and splendor. He transfigured right before them, and the three saw the kingdom that Christ in the coming kingdom will be like. They saw that. Because what they have seen in their epistles mentioned the Lord's coming. 2 Peter chapter 1, if you look at that chapter mentioned particularly concerning the Lord's coming, through the words of the apostles, that the Old Testament prophecies and the Lord's prophecy himself were made more firm by the words of the apostles. So if we read the Gospels and Epistles, we will find that they are repeatedly emphasized and stressed the matter of the Lord's coming. Our responsibility is what? Is to give heed, to take heed, to take heed these words. Don't be careless. Don't neglect it. Don't think, you know, this is a small conference, not too many people. But brothers and sisters, you must give heed to these words. So those Magi, because of this, they found the Lord Jesus, they worshipped the Lord Jesus, and they were Gentiles, right? Those scribes, those priests, they had no interest at all about the Lord. They just read the prophecy. They were clear about the prophecy. Have they even moved a step to go to Bethlehem and take a look? No, not at all. Today, you and I can even write books. You know, there's so many books concerning the Lord's coming, this sign, that situation, and the world situation is such and such. We can speak about all the signs and even prophesy. Maybe the last seven years have started. Have we started the last 3.5 years yet? What they like to talk about? The moon turned to blood. The sun will be darkened. And that's what they talk about. And they talk about the world situation. There's a war here. There's an earthquake here. Yes, the Bible does talk about it. Revelation did speak about all these things. But if you're not careful, you'll be distracted from the central line and central point. Yes, even you're clear about all the prophecies. So what? You understood all the prophecies. So what? Brothers and sisters, the problem is, are we ready? It's a matter of are we making ourselves ready. Today in the Lord's recovery, it is a great place for our preparation. To live in a church life in the Lord's recovery is the greatest opportunity, the Lord having his mercy to us, that we can be in a recovery to live a church life. We can be here loving the Lord, pursuing the Lord, to enter into his word, to grow in life, to be mature in life, so on and so forth. All of these is to make ourselves ready, to prepare us. Not only to make ourselves ready is individual, but to prepare the bride is somewhat corporate. Both are for the Lord's coming. So the Lord's coming is to turn this age into a new age. According to God's economy, this is such a great matter. I hope that the words that I speak in the beginning is for you to have a right and proper attitude. So this meeting will be until 12:30, and I will read the outline. I will enter into the outline, but I do have some burden, a little burden. That is, I must give you some words of warning. There are many who talk about the Lord's coming. There are many voices. But in this ministry, our dear Brother Lee helped us that even if we study the matter of prophecy, we should not be afraid of prophecy. But when we enter into the matter of prophecy, we must be careful. If we're not careful, we'll fall into something outward. So those kind of things, what attracts us and scratches our itch ears, right? We love to hear, oh, what year, what day, what time? Today, global warming, what is happening? We may fall into those kind of things. Yes, Brother Lee did talk about those things about Israel, did talk about the world situation, but Brother Lee was very clear, very careful in touching the matter of the prophecy. If we want to touch the matter of prophecy, we must remain in the central line of God's economy. We must see the reality of the prophecy with life. We cannot be careless. Oh, we just read a word about prophecy. We cannot be general or careless or loose. Secondly, don't be curious. Oh, this and that. Though that is a wrong. That is wrong attitude. Our reading of prophecy is not to satisfy our curiosity of what will happen next. No, our studying the prophecy is for us to wait for the Lord's coming, to prepare ourselves for the Lord's coming. And we should not take things out of context. Use this section, that section, separately. No, we have to read together. They should complement one another. You should be careful in reading the prophecies. And also, we should have a heart, right? Not only interpreting prophecy out of context, but we should keep the words of this prophecy. That is to keep, to submit, to obey the prophecies. Those are not for you to give messages, to draw people to you of what you're speaking about. All these words is for us to keep, for us to obey. And blessed is he who keep his words. And the last point is very important. We need to have an intimate relationship with God. Don't pursue those kind of things outside of God. If you do so, that would be dangerous. The Lord has given us the prophecies and the words. He asks us and requires us to know and to understand. That these words, you see, those prophets who spoke the prophetic words are those who are close to God, intimate with God. They love God. They fear God. The commandment of the Lord is with those who love and fear him. So we must be those who love the Lord to the uttermost, to love the Lord Jesus. Not only you love the Lord's word, but you also have a heart that you have the living star. That is the Lord's presence. And the second point that I would like to talk about and emphasize about all what I mentioned are related with this message. The emphasis of this time of the Lord's coming is not just the Lord's coming or the Lord's returning. The emphasis or burden of this conference is the preparation. The preparation or making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. So what is my burden concerning our preparation? That is, first of all, individually or corporately, what are our spiritual conditions? It totally based upon our condition. I will use three words to describe our condition. Number one, the matter of our attitude. What is our attitude towards the Lord's coming? Number one, what is our attitude, our heart? Last night we talked about the matter of attitude, and there are others. Number two, exercise, our practice, exercise. If you know the Lord is coming, you will exercise yourselves. That is a preparation. That exercise is also a process. And number three, what is the condition of the preparing for the Lord's coming? It's our living. Number three, living. What kind of life we live? Number one, attitude. What is our attitude? Number two, exercise. What is our exercise? Number three, living. What is our living? I will just give you an example concerning our attitude. Number one, we love his appearance. The message last night was so well spoken. Number one, what is our attitude? Love. Love him fervently. Love him to the uttermost of his coming. We should wait for the Lord to come from the heavens openly. Not just waiting, but eagerly waiting. Not just loving, but waiting. And number three is what? We're full of hope. We're full of hope. We're waiting for the blessed hope. That is our God and our Lord Jesus appearing. This is our attitude. Okay, concerning our exercise. Number one, we need to be watchful and sober. Be watchful and sober. I will not speak more. The Lord Jesus said it. The apostles repeated the words here mentioned again and again. It's for to be watchful and sober, for we know not what day our Lord will return. And number three, we need to be careful. Do not be in debauchery, falling into today's worldly cares. So then the days of the Lord's coming will be like, will come to us suddenly, like a nest. Number three, we should be watch and pray. But here, the emphasis here is that we need to pray. The Lord said you should pray that you will overcome, you can escape all the things that is to come and stand before Jesus. That talk about you should escape the great tribulation. Don't think about, oh, great tribulation. It's just a little uncomfortableness, you know. It's okay. That means you have not read the Bible. You should pray to escape that tribulation no one on this earth has ever experienced. Number four, to obey the words of endurance. The matter of endurance. Actually, all the words in the Bible is a word of endurance. What does that mean? That means today, if we keep His word, we will suffer. We will be forsaken. We will suffer persecution. We will definitely partake of His endurance and kingdom. This is our John's word in Revelation. We are partaking of His kingdom and endurance. 2 Timothy also mentioned about if we suffer with Him, then we will be co-kings with Him. So, in James, brothers, you should endure until the Lord's coming. Because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers and sisters, I hope we are one. Therefore, be long-suffering, brothers, the coming of the Lord. So we should suffer with Him. No, we're not suffering with Him on the cross to accomplish redemption, but we are suffering on behalf to make up the lack of the body of Christ. For our transformation, we should endure to the end. Then, number five, we should keep the Lord's work. That is all His accomplishments of His work, including all the things that He's still doing. The indwelling Christ, He needs to be formed in us. He needs to grow. He needs to make home in our hearts. He wants to fill us. All these things included in the Lord's work, we should keep His work, this work, until we'll conform to His image. Demas loved the present age. And he left the Lord's work. He was drawn, attracted by the world. He did not keep the Lord's work, but got sidetracked. Today, we need to allow the Lord to sanctify us, transform us, conform us. If we keep the Lord's work at His appearing, He will be our morning star. Number six, we should console one another with these words, to warn, to console, to comfort one another with these words. Concerning our living, number three, I will not say much. I will just use 2 Peter. It talks about we should be sanctifying, live a godly life. Those are words of Brother Lee. On one hand, waiting for the Lord's return. On the other hand, to hasten His physical return. Year 2023, that month, that day will come. That morning, you might, if you say that day, that time, you go take a shower, change a new set of clothes, to go up to a high mountain and look up, oh, the Lord is coming. Do you think that is the Lord's coming? You're dreaming. Maybe while you're taking a shower, the Lord already came. That kind of thing, you know, showering, clothing, go up the mountain, those are not the preparation. The preparation is daily, moment by moment, hour by hour, minute by minute, we live in His presence. We live in the Spirit. We live under the dispensing of the triune God. We're here experiencing His organic salvation. It is in such a process we have a living that is godly, that is sanctified, that is holy, that has been transformed. And I like this word. Listen. As we live such a life, we're actually hastening His coming or His return. Think about it. We can delay. We can delay His coming. We can also hasten His coming. Think about it. What is the Lord waiting for? The Lord's waiting for the bride to be prepared. The Lord's waiting for you to be mature in life. The Lord's waiting for something. That is most important. If you are ready, we made ourselves ready. When we say, come Lord Jesus, He will come. Why is He not coming today? Because we are not ready. The bride has not made herself ready. This is the burden. Now, I will read over the outline. Making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming by giving heed to the prophetic word as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. These are very good words. 2 Peter Psalm, Revelation 2:28, I will give them the morning star. Malachi talk about the Lord's open coming and appearing in His manifestation at the last day of the great tribulation. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in His wings, and that is the day when the day dawns. Morning star is not at the day dawn, but before. The morning star appears before the dawn of the day. And 1 Thessalonians, we are not sons of darkness, but sons of light and sons of the day. So we should what? Give heed to the prophetic words as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Brighter and brighter until the day dawns and morning star rises in our heart. And it talks about don't be asleep, but you should be watchful. So after these five messages, when you go back to our home, we will have awakening, a new beginning to live such a life, to live such a life. Prophecies are matters that God requires us to know, and believers should give heed to them. Number one, it is crucial for believers to give heed to the prophetic word. The Antichrist, at the time of great tribulation, will persecute people. One, the Jewish people. To the New Testament believers. And another group of people, the Antichrist, will murder, will kill our prophets. Today we need the prophets and the words of the prophets. We need the light to guide us. Prophecies are the words. Prophetic words are matters that God requires us to know and believers should give heed to them. Please read all these verses, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. So that, remember words spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior preached by your apostles. And we should remember words. Right? So 1 Peter 1:10 concerning the salvation of prophets, and 2 Peter 3:2, there are three groups of people: the Old Testament holy prophets, and the number two, the commandment of the Lord and Savior, and number three, your apostles, the three groups of people. B, the Lord Jesus charged us to understand the prophecies. This clearly shows that the believers must pay attention to the prophecies in the Bible. I've warned you before, don't be distracted to pay attention to the outward things. Those just perk up our curiosity. The best is to come to the word of the ministry. The best is to spend time in the words of the ministry. All what I mentioned about from Daniel to the Lord's coming and in Matthew 24 to Revelation and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, the words of Paul and the words of Peter and James are what we need to study and be made clear and understand. So I will not be sidetracked. I will not go too in detail, so I will not distract the younger, newer brothers and sisters. Number one, you must know the 77, the last 7 years, especially the last 3.5 years. I don't have time to talk about it. That's number one. You need to study the 77s. And number two, you need to know what is the resurrection of the dead in Daniel. That is not easy. It's not, oh, I died and then I resurrected. No. There are many details related with the raising of the dead. And number three, you need to know the rapture of the overcomers. There are many kinds of overcomers. You need to clear the rapture. Of course, includes the majority of the believers rapture and the different kinds of rapture that will be helpful to us. Number five, we should know who is Antichrist. We should study concerning Antichrist will be someone come out of the Mediterranean Sea. There is just one horn of the 10 horns. It came out of the abyss from the sea. It is the 7th Caesar of the Roman Empire. All that are not to arouse our curiosity, but you should be clear. If you're not clear, you'll be deceived. And today, these things of deceit are prevalent among Christians everywhere. And you should also know what is Armageddon, the last war, the war of Armageddon, where Christ with his overcomers will fight the final battle with Antichrist and his armies. What is the significance of that war and this and that? You know, Ukraine's war today is in no comparison with what will happen that day. But then the last point, you should know how the Lord will will be manifested or will appear, that he'll come from the throne to the heaven, then he'll come with the cloud. He will come on the cloud. The Son of Man will come like a lightning and I'll just mention that a little bit. And those are not simple, it's somehow complicated. Don't think you can understand it in one day, overnight. No, but you have to be clear about these things. See, if the church does not pay adequate attention to these prophecies, many believers will inevitably lose faith, be deceived by lies, be destroyed because of the lack of that knowledge, and forget the Lord's coming by not being watchful. If we do not pay adequate attention to these prophecies, we'll have these kind of results. Saints will lose faith, deceived by lies. There are many things, many lies that deceive people. And be destroyed because of the lack of that knowledge, and forget the Lord's coming by not being watchful. These words of the prophets is for us not to be deceived. It's for us not to lose faith, will not be destroyed. You know, the opposite is of losing faith, deceiving by lie, destroyed. We should live in another condition that is opposite of what we just read. D. If the believers do not have the prophecies in the Bible, they will fall into darkness. Every day we need the Lord's Word. This Bible, this precious Bible, the Word of God, is what the Bible, the Lord wants us to know. The prophetic words will become our light, will not fall into darkness. One, the present age is the night time. I don't need to elaborate today. We are in the night time. It has been 2,000 years already. Such a long night. We're gradually what? Feel that the morning light will shine forth. The time is close and near. And don't be so speculate. Don't deduct from what this and that. But we're in the night time. But we should become sons of light. We should put off the works of darkness, put on the weapons of light, and cast off the works of darkness and put on the weapons of light. We should be vigilant. We should watchful to put on the helmets of love and life, and put on the helmet of salvation. And the salvation should be our hope, should be our expectation and hope. When the Lord Jesus comes, the day will dawn, and the next age, the kingdom age, will be the daytime. The daytime will be coming. But we should not only wait for the day to dawn, but even in the dark night, we should enjoy the morning star. Romans 2, Peter likens the word of prophecy in the scripture to a light shining in a dark place. A, this indicates that this age is a dark place in the dark night. All the people of this world are moving and acting in darkness. Isn't this right? They are like zombies, walking around like zombies, moving and acting in darkness, a living dead. Yes, even Christians are under such a condition, but we are not, and we should not be this kind of people. B, the prophetic words of the scriptures as a shining lamp to the believers conveys spiritual light that shines in their darkness, not merely knowledge in letters for their mental apprehension, guiding them into a bright day, even to pass through the dark night until the day of the Lord's appearing dawns. These words are very clear. May these words mingle with our spirit. Shine forth. Shine. When we use our spirit to touch the Lord's word, like a match, the phosphorus, I mean, you strike the match, the fire or the flame will start. The light will appear. That light is to shine upon us who live in this dark age and darkness, to lead us all the way until the day breaks. See, before the Lord, as the sunlight appears, we need this word as light to shine over our footsteps. D, if we give heed to the prophetic word in the Bible, which shines as a light in a dark place, we will have Christ rising our hearts to shine in the darkness. May we all love the Lord's word, read the Lord's word, pray read these prophetic words. Then we will become a person filled with light. Yes, in this dark age, we are living in the daytime. We're sons of day. We're not sons of darkness. Romans 3, we need to give heed to the lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. A, the Greek word renders dark place may also be translated murky place, a place that is squalid, dry, and neglected. Today, this is the world's situation, the condition of the world, even in Christianity, in such a situation. B, the day is a metaphor illustrating a time coming that will be full of light as a bright day dawning, with the morning star rising before its dawning, in the hearts of the believers who are illuminated, enlightened by giving heed to the shining word of prophecy in the scripture. One, this will cause and encourage the believers to earnestly seek the Lord's presence and be watchful so they will not miss the Lord in the secret part of his coming. Parousia, yeah? When he will come as a thief. The problem today to us is not so much of the Lord's open appearing. What is most important, what we need to pay the most attention to, is his secret coming. That secret coming is a particular special reward, right? In Revelations, it says, I will give him the overcomers, the morning star. It is a gift. It is a reward. If we live such a life, with such an attitude, with such an exercise to live in such a condition that is pleasing the Lord, then the morning star will be our reward. In writing such a hymn, I have a desire, Lord, I want to have such a morning star. In 1995, at the graduation of the FTTA training, he was healed already. He spoke a few words, and there was an outline. I can remember. God, man. May the Lord bless you, and so on and so forth, until the morning star rises in your hearts. That's Brother Lee's word to the trainees. He himself was such a one, awaiting for the Lord's return. He's also waiting for the morning star to rise in his heart. That is before the great tribulation of the 3.5 years, the morning star will arise and appear. At that time, there will be a group that will be raptured to escape the death of this 3.5 years on earth. If we're not mature, we'll go through the 3.5 years to be mature. And those are a time of suffering and tribulation. Yes, you'll be raptured after that 3.5 years, but it's later, right? Here, these are words that direct us, that guides us of how to live our lives. The Lord's coming is like a thief. No one knows. We should be prepared. Two, this metaphor must allude to the coming age, the day of the kingdom, as a day that will dawn at the appearing, the coming of the Lord as the Son of righteousness, whose light will shine to break through the gloom of the dark night of this age. See, the morning star appears in the darkest hour prior to dawn. See, it is that before, at the darkest hour, the morning star will appear prior to dawn. One, this indicates that Christ will appear as a bright morning star in the darkest time prior to the end of this age. The common people will not see it. Only those who love his appearing will see this morning star. The star within. It's what they have now. The morning star will arise in their heart. Two, the Lord's appearing as the morning star and his appearing as the Son of Righteousness will not be at the same time. There's a difference of 3.5 years. A, the morning star appeared before dawn, and the appearing of the sun occurred at the dawning of the day. B, as the Son of Righteousness, after the dawning of the day, Christ will appear publicly to all the people on the earth. C, as a bright morning star before the dawning of the day, he will appear privately to the overcomers who are watching, preparing, and waiting for him. Yes, we will all say, come, Lord Jesus. But there are different kinds of prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, is that the public coming or the private coming of the Lord? There's a difference. May we be the latter ones. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, come, the morning star, appear, not just as the Son of Righteousness. D, he will secretly give himself as the morning star to those who love him and who watch and wait for him, that they may have the priority to taste the freshness of his presence at his coming back after long absence. D, when we give heed to the word of the scripture as to a lamp shining a light dark place, the condition within us will be like the day dawning and the morning star rises in our heart. The key word, the main condition, is our condition. How will the morning star rise is based upon our condition. One, figuratively, The day dawns refer to the coming age of the kingdom as a bright day dawning. 2, concerning the type of Christ, the entire Bible begins with him as light and ends with him as a morning star. 3, the morning star refers to Christ who, in the darkest hour of the night, prior to the dawning of the kingdom age, will secretly rise in the hearts of those who love his appearing. 4, if we continually give heed to the shining word of the scripture, we will have the kingdom as a day dawn in us, and Christ as a morning star rises in our heart before his actual appearing as the bright morning star. Today, the Lord if the Lord will not rise in our heart, he will not appear as a bright morning star. That is the ultimate result. Today we must have the reality of the morning star. 5, Christ as a morning star will be given to the overcomers as their first reward. We need to make ourselves ready for the secret appearing of the Lord as a morning star. The first thing is the morning star. We need to prepare ourselves, make ourselves ready for the Lord's appearing as the morning star rises in our heart. At the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22, begin reading from verse 6 to the end, 21 is that prayer, or 20. Come, Lord Jesus, please read again and again. The Lord says these words, the words of the prophecy. They are true. It will happen. You need to keep these words. Blessed are you who keep the word. John has seen, have heard, and also given to us these words. And his words cannot be sealed because the time is near. And for the churches, in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you these things for the churches in recovery. I am the root and the offerings of David, the bright morning star, the last chapter of the Bible, three times mentioned about, I will come. I will come quickly. I come quickly. Three times he said, may we use our living as our prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Let us have some prayers by twos and threes.